new episode of Be a Fan. Today we got an amazing show. I am running a little bit solo today. My name is Prime. Forgot to mention that. We got a special show for you. Part of it is already pre-recorded. We have our new friend of the pod, Willow, to help us convince you to become a Dignitas fan. And by golly, I really love this episode and that interview. It really helped me understand just the depth of this franchise and why we should pay attention to them. For all intents and purposes, the least most exciting things is actually their logo, which I thought was the coolest thing out of all of them. So at the end of this episode, we will play that recording of that interview. And thank you, Willow, so much for being a certified Dignitas fan. I'm sure you have done the organization proud by just listing off all their achievement and where they came from. There are some things I've learned about it, and which I thought was pretty awesome to know as it fits how it works today. One of them being absolutely that, you know, Team Liquid and Dignitas go far way back, really way back, even before Team Liquid existed, before Team Liquid bought out Team Cursed. So we are fresh off the last regular season weekend before the Super Week. You know, upcoming is we're going to have a Friday, Saturday, Sunday games of slates. But, you know, this was the first weekend back after the break. And boy, do we have a lot of things to talk about. You know, is C9 back? You know, is Immortals really not going to be able to improve their position? Who's going to get that last place in the playoff spot? And are 100 Thieves frauds? We'll talk about that, all of it, in this episode, or break it down a little bit for us all. As you can see, I'm also kind of excited in my voice because I am glad this episode can happen to talk about Player of the Week, Jojo Pyun. Of course, I really miss my co-host to talk this show with me because they are also all excited about this phenom, this young NA mid phenom. I'll get a chance to talk a little bit about Jojo Pyun as Player of the Week and, you know, just touch on a little bit of what's also going on at the LCS lately. So let's start by talking about, you know, some of the results that came about. Dignitas, or let me pull up the schedule just so I can review it fairly quickly. But it's been quite a week of results. Most of them expected, some of them very surprising. So let's look at the standings first. It is now FlyQuest solely placed number one after they beat the tiebreaker against 100 Thieves, who are number two with a 7-4 record. That followed by NRG Kia, who did have a 2-0 weekend, followed by another 2-0 weekend for Cloud9. And then we have fifth place tied between Dignitas and Team Liquid, and then seventh Shopify with a 4-7 record, and Immortals with a 3-8 record. So Immortals will probably need to win all their upcoming games and hope win a tiebreaker, a forced tiebreaker, to have a chance to get into the playoffs. So it is in dire moments. But yet, there is something that caught my attention in this week's interview in the pros, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. So just going through some of the surprising results, maybe C9 beating FlyQuest. It was, you know, close for the most part, and I think it really got away from them during the mid-game, and just seeing the resilience of C9, seeing the work that they put in is good. Nothing to be embarrassed about for FlyQuest. I think they played very well. It was just that C9 really wanted it, and this came down to a game of, you know, inches to win. The first day, not much were surprising. The second day, NRG, I will say their games this weekend were very inconsistent, and they could have lost at least one of them, but they were able to pull out a 2-0. It was still does not inspire too much confidence, but hey, they are solely in third place with their 2-0 record. And then, of course, as I alluded before, FlyQuest just running over 100 Thieves. I mean, just completely demolishing them. you know, well, in the beginning, I would say 100 Thieves had a bit of a kill lead, but the overall game was firmly in FlyQuest's control, so that really sparked up the conversation. Are 100 Thieves frauds or not? And I'll leave that all up to everyone else to decide. Dignitas pulled out a very close game against Shopify. You would think that Dignitas should have been the better team, but this is a good sign for Shopify to show up in such a way that gives you that idea or the feeling that they are going to become better and better, that they're slowly evolving with each week. And, you know, perhaps not in the spring, but in the summer, they may be making noise, which is a team that nobody gave a chance to, right? And, you know, our super fan Cloud Siki really dove into why we should be excited for some of these players. Well, not some, all of these players. Bavoy, you know, Insanity, all of them. Did well, and the game just did not go their way because Dignitas was able to stall it out, play for the late game with their Smolder, and it was just over at the late game mark. And then the Team Liquid C9 game to kind of wrap up the week. That one, C9 had a great lead. They threw it. TL could have had every chance to win, but they decided to chase Jojopyun, and he made one of the sickest play you'll ever see. And of course, that's not even his top 10 play, I wouldn't say, but it was one sick play that got him out of trouble. And then really from that point on, C9 just took the game back and snowballed. There was a lot of Baron throws for this game, and that's something I'll post the video up on the Twitter link that's associated with this episode, so you'll get a chance to see what I'm talking about. It's fun. It's a fun weekend, and we're headed into the Super Week, so every team will have three chances to make their case for the winner's bracket and also make it into playoffs. I anticipate some tiebreakers, so that could set up for a very exciting weekend on Sunday especially. With that said, let's talk a little bit about Jojopyun. I mean, he won Player of the Week. I think the first game, Blabber, stood out more to me, but I can see why you would give it to, you know, why you could give it, make a case. But I certainly know that other players, you know, have a very, what do you call it, had a chance. I think Contracts would have been a fine nomination. His Baron Steel, just to pull out that win, like I said, a win that they should have been an easy win for them against Immortals, but they had to wait until a Baron sneak a Baron Steel by Contracts to kind of turn the game on its head. But yeah, we have Jojopyun to celebrate with us. I mean, we're celebrating Jojopyun in this episode. So a little bit about this young phenom. He is certainly what we would term a generational talent, someone who really came into the scene, you know, and really the people who were behind the scenes, like the coaches and some of the tier two players and you know, those who pay attention to the Academy Challenger level, were excited to see him. For myself, I was like, who is this kid? Why is everyone so hyped on him? That spot could have been given to Jensen. So he came around in 2019 to play with Evil Geniuses, and you know, as a rookie. And at the time, Evil Geniuses was just a you know, fairly young team with some interesting group of talent. But Jojopyun, that spot, most fans, including myself, thought, hey, maybe Jensen deserved it because he was not signed at the time, I don't think. And why were we giving it to this rookie? But boy, from the lock-in tournament of that season on, I became a believer. And watched him play. He has amazing hands. He has ton of confidence, to exudes tons of confidence, and you know, he is not afraid at the international level. He wants to play against Chovy, he wants to play against Faker, and he shows that he is not going to back down from a fight, and that he will bully you. He's been a lane bully in the LCS, just leading in those two, in the next 2 years, in 2019 and 2020. Was it 2019? Probably. Oh my gosh, times are running in together. Let me make sure that I got my 2022. I knew my timings was off. So sorry, 2022, joined into the LCS, but prior to then, he was in the Academy level Evil Geniuses Prodigies, and he came up through that system. So 2022 and 2023, he has dominated the mid lane in the LCS, oftentimes leading in gold, leading in CS, and just a crazy good player with crazy mechanics. He had a lot of growing pain, of course, he needed to show, because you know, he was still raw, he still tried to do things on his own, separate from his team, because you know, he was relying a lot on, you know, just hands diffing his opponent. So let's look at his stats of this year. He is only second to Dove in first blood percentage. He is leading in goal difference at 10 again. He is leading in XP difference at 10 minutes. And he is leading in CS difference at 10 minutes. And let's see, CSPM kind of tied with Mask. Oh no, but right below Jensen and Mask. His damage per minute is not as high as it used to be, but you can see his laning phase is so good that, you know, it's not an exaggeration that people say that he can compete on the international stage. A little bit about Jojo Puen, of course, given his background, for those who don't really know his background, and I'm sure there's few of you that don't, because most people are already familiar. He came from a Fortnite. He played Fortnite. He was always known as the Fortnite kid, but never planned to make a career out of it. He was just having fun, and he looked really good. Then he got into League of Legends seriously in 2020 and got scouted while playing solo queue. And you know, the teams liked him, the coaches liked him, they wanted to bring him in. So he flew out by himself. He was from Toronto, Canada, to California, and been pretty much in California to play professional League of Legends. This past year, you know, some of the things that he's accomplished, I already mentioned. He won Rookie of the Year. He was certainly one of the reasons why they performed so well at the international level. And he, you know, people have nothing but positive things to say about him. I know his old teammates inspired, you know, his current teammates all know that he is a highly intelligent player. He just loves the jokes around. He loves the mom jokes. He wears Crocs, so you see more of a goofy side of him. But when people say, if you talk to him behind the scenes off camera, he is shy, apparently. He's shy. But he is highly, highly intelligent, and it really betrays what he portrays in the media. But so I really like to have that mixture. I really like seeing that mixture. It's a kid with confidence. You know, there's a graphics that is put out there around 2023 of last year, March. If he wasn't good at League Pro Sports, what would he be doing? He said he could be anything: a lawyer, doctor, astronaut. I could sing the Hall of Fame song, but NBA player or NFL player. So kid is paying attention to traditional sports. His biggest pet peeve is people touching his mouse with their bare hands. So put your gloves on before touching JoJo's mouse. And his favorite music artists include Future, A Boogie, Drake, J. Cole, and Frank Sinatra. Man, this guy has taste in the classics as well as in the more modern day rap. So let's talk about what he did then this season, this split. Or so far, C9 has not been really doing well compared relative to their expectations and the talent that they have. And in the pros, he sort of discussed a little bit of what was going on without revealing too much. I think we have to make some guesstimation of what happened. It's that a lot of the players are still trying to figure out how to communicate with one another or what they want to do. Necessarily, JoJo is needing more chemistry with Blabber. I'm not saying that they're bad. They're probably better than most. It's just, it's a different style than with Inspired, who is more, you know, in your face, telling you what you need to do. And JoJo said that he was more used to that. And Blabber will just be, you know, telling Jojo what he likes to do or what he may want to do, but never really have that, sort of that in your face type of command. And so Jojo has to learn, and just listening to that, if you haven't gotten a chance to listen to that, it's a great interview to kind of see how Jojo grew throughout the years. And that really helped me remember the interview I used to have with Peter Dunn back then with the Evil Geniuses podcast. He said, look, Jojo Pyun second year is an upgrade for him. That enough would make Evil Geniuses stronger, even though they're losing some key talent and they're not looking the same. But, I think he did have a bit of a sophomore slump, but you can see the growth. He's continuing to challenge himself and become a better leader. And now he has become attuned to developing a mindset of what is my winning condition? How do I make the changes that I need mid-game? Things that he used to not have to do before because other players, other voices in that team was much stronger, and so now he can bring that as an asset to C9. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he continues to play this split and maybe summer split, maybe MSI. I really want to see him on an international stage again. So with that said, congratulations, Jojo Pyun. This is awesome. Follow him on the lcsprofile.com to learn more about his background, the things that were put together by different fans to learn about him. He is very close to his family. I mean, you got to see a little bit of that last year. And you get to also know a little bit about his likes, his dislikes, and calling himself fake Korean. He's Korean-Canadian, but doesn't speak Korean, right? So you can learn a little bit more about that on there. So on the topic of the LCS, I don't have much to offer from NACL. I think the standing right now is FlyQuest Challenger being at the top of the table, followed by Maryville University. And then what is the rest? Supernova making a very big noise in the game. Cincinnati Fear and Wild Gaming. It's very surprising to see Disguise and Team Liquid like kind of on the bottom tier, but they are making the playoffs, so to speak. The two that are out were probably most people expected to be out are Lit Gaming and Mirage Alliance, who both are at the bottom of the standing. I will need to check back in with Andrea and others about who has been standing out so far, who deserves a chance at the LCS level. Speaking of LCS, I want to really take a time to acknowledge the improvement in social media team. They are putting out these graphics, they're putting out these different short clips and contents that really help us stay engaged, help me stay engaged, help me see the side of players and casters and also streamers or content creators alongside them. I would say that this peak in particular, I really like the Team Liquid all chat presentation of a really, really long discussion. It was a 30 or so minute video. I really like that one. That one really gave some good perspective on the LCS as a whole. I also really love what Dignitas is putting out there. Immortals is making these funny contents out there. They are continuing to send out also a lot of the voice comms. And so it's been a great way to stay involved as a fan this year because of these. And I just wish people are watching them or staying attuned and providing feedback. If you're listening to this, go and watch them. Go to their YouTube channel. Go to X or Twitter. I will always have a content of the week ranking every Monday. With that said, we have a lot of topics, and I'm going to not address all of them in this episode because I want to talk to my co-host about it. Our segment for Crybabies versus Criticism. I've shared my thoughts on some of the Crybabies over Freak's tweet. While it's not LCS directed, I do think it's somewhat of a reflection of the mentality of League players in North America, which is quite a shame of how people typically react, to small changes, to comments. It's a lot of toxicity out there that, while may not be part of mainstream LCS. It's similar mindset. You can find that across Reddit. But so I think they're just crybabies. Honestly, I think most people would agree with me. They were just not happy about some minor thing. But one of those criticism or crybaby, I'll let you guys decide on this one. there is a post by, what's his name? This is more on the EU side of things, but it really encapsulates or talked about it's Joey Stemple, Young Buck. You probably know him for his time with Fnatic at the EU level. So he mentions in his tweet, an inconvenient esports truth. Roster building has by a large margin the most impact on success, followed by drafting. Only after that comes the hundreds of hours put into scrims and solo queue, and a lot of Western team absolutely suck at it. You know, we got a couple of people that agree with him, and other people didn't really put in their input, but I think this is worth a conversation. Is this a fair criticism of how Western League of Legends are just impatient? And this shows in the LEC, for example. They have three splits, meaning they play 3 weeks per split, and in 3 weeks time they have to reevaluate their roster. They have to already make some roster changes. Some of the teams, they stick with it, but two or three teams just switch out players right after a 3 week split. And that isn't any better in the LCS level, because after a split, a spring split or summer split, they are ready to make roster changes. And that doesn't really allow for cohesion, team building, or really understanding what the flaws are of your team, but instead are looking for quick fixes and has not worked. And really, you know, we can say that this is a flaw of the Western League of Legends, but I have to say, watching LCK and LPL, the good teams, they stay together throughout the whole year. The bad teams, they are doing more or less the same thing, especially the LPL. They make changes mid-season, not even have to waiting the at the end of the split. But they stay bad, and this could be one of those reasons, and I certainly believe it, that it's a reason why that, you know, bad teams stay bad. And for a whole region to be doing that, maybe that's an Achilles heel of the region. There has also been a lot of things mentioned about coaching, or whether they are good or useful in the scene, whether they are just being content or maybe complacent at this level, and those are some fair points to bring up. So I'm posing it to you. Are the players who are calling, this includes Revenge, Meteos, I forgot who else talked about the coaching being something that is problematic. Are these fair criticisms, or are they just crybabies, and that, you know, it should the coaches shouldn't be that big of a part in a failure or success of a team? Well, with that said, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this portion. Let's stay tuned, and we now welcome Willow to talk about Dignitas. And we are now live on this special segment to talk Dignitas, the franchise, maybe some of the players, and with me here for the first time and potentially continuing on, a friend of the pod, we have Willow. Willow, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on.
That's awesome. And thank you so much for jumping in. I know I just went in as a stranger, you know, just jump into the Dignitas Discord. Hey, who wants to talk Dignitas with me? And you're like, I will.
I always will. I love talking to people.
And that's awesome for you to be here. You're probably the first person I have that will be able to talk Dignitas with me, because I've been looking. Fans are not easy to come by on Twitter.
We are a small community,
and
we're small and we're fractured. It's interesting. There's no like community connection. Like the Twitter people are Twitter people. The Twitch people are Twitch people. The Discord people are Discord.
Wow.
It's really kind of frustrating because, like, yeah, it's pretty fractured.
Oh, man. Well, hopefully we can bring them together, because I think this is a very not as spoken about org, even among, like, the mainstream.
It should be.
It should be. Absolutely, it should be. And, you know, they're not just known for League of Legends, which is what we're going to be talking about today, LCS's main thing. But they have other, you know, sports that they're involved in. I see Fortnite, I see Rocket League. Am I missing anything?
So right now, there is also the sister organization called Radiant, which hosts almost all of the female Valorant and CSGO tournaments in North America. They are sister brands. They're kind of separate, but they're all the same people. Like, the main person who runs it is Sapphire, who have been with Dignitas since 2014.
Oh, wow.
And she's still a Dignitas employee, but she mostly works with Radiant.
Radiant. Okay. That's awesome to know. Like,
and... if you will let me talk about non-League of Legends stuff, I have all the lore. I know lots of the League stuff. I'm a League fangirl deep down, but...
That's beautiful. Well, you know, I have a bias. I watch and learn. But certainly, you know, we'll have a space, of course, to talk about Dig as in general, because I think they deserve some attention. They
and definitely... that's where Dignitas shines, in my opinion. So
awesome.
Yeah.
We're excited to dive into it. So, you know, tell me, you know, just give me a big overview. Like, tell me about this org, you know, a little bit about the history, if you know, and just they're finding themselves back in the LCS space, because I know they've been gone for a while.
Do you want Dignitas lore or just LCS?
Let's start with the Dignitas lore and then we can, you
know. So Dignitas, I believe, was founded in 2004. Or 2003, it was originally a Battlefield clan, like Battlefield, like 98, like a really old Battlefield. The clan leader's name was Odie. He was the first owner of Dignitas. And those first, like, 10 years was mostly a FPS and StarCraft team. We did the first ever player trade where we traded, I think, SJOW, who is a famous Hearthstone person, to Misfits. In about 2007, that's the first ever eSports player trade, which is really cool. So League of Legends obviously didn't come out until 2010, I believe, with Bea. And they signed their first team, I believe, in late 2011.
Yes.
Because I found Dignitas in middle 2011.
Oh, wow.
And then they signed the amateur team. This is pre-LCS, the amateur team, Rock Solid, which has some of the most famous players of all time in QtPie and Skara. QtPie was actually the top laner, I believe. And Jat...
Jat Leishman?
Was it Jat or Kobe?
I see Jat. Jat Leishman.
One of them is a jungler for Dignitas.
Wow.
Is it Jat or Kobe? I don't quite remember. And they got into the first split of LCS. And we are the only org from the original split. Cloud9 and Team Liquid came in 2015. 100 Thieves, NRG, everybody else is way newer. So we are the oldest org, even though we were not in the first franchising. So Dignitas took, I believe, 3 years off of League of Legends because they did not get into franchising. So while we were in season one of LCS to season... Is it season five, maybe? We weren't in, like, season 6 to 8, I believe.
Yes, you are correct.
I believe that's all correct. Yeah. I did not Google anything. This is just me being a degenerate.
Off the top of your... Wow.
So the original roster is Patoy, Skara, QtPie. Is the original jungler Crumbs? I don't think so for LCS. And the original top laner would have been... definitely not Cruiser the Bruiser. That guy... It's not Voyboy. Voyboy was traded from Curse. But anyway, the thing that made Dignitas Dignitas was streaming. This is why everybody was a Dignitas fan. This is why Dignitas was one of the biggest teams. You have QtPie, Voyboy, Skara, who outside of TSM are just the biggest streamers. If you go back to that era, it's TSM and QtPie were like the biggest streamers. TSM was huge, as everybody knows. And QtPie was the biggest streamer probably in the world at this point for the first, like, 2 years of LCS. I don't know exact viewership numbers. Obviously, streaming was a lot smaller.
Right.
I don't think Twitch even had subscriptions until, like, year two of LCS. But QtPie was... He had to have been the biggest. He was so mad. And Skara was my favorite. I love Skara. I still watch Skara every day. I love Scarra so much.
Yeah, it's great to see him still active.
He went on to coach CLG. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he went on to coach CLG, and then he was playing on the super famous Dream Team with Dyrus and QewPie.
Yes.
Echo Fox made an amateur team of all the streamers. So then we didn't get into franchising. We took a few years off. We didn't have any Academy or Tier 3 teams for League of Legends. And then we got back in with franchising. But other than the last few years, I would say Dignitas have been a streaming-focused organization where that's where you have all the famous people and where the popularity came from.
Wow. And you know, that probably how they built their fan base, because I know that this is a very major org, not just nationally, it's internationally huge.
Sorry, that's one other thing I should say. The org started at UK in 2018. OD sold to Michael PRA something. I don't remember his name right now. And now it's a North American-based org, mostly based in Boston, I believe, is where the headquarters are.
Mm. Wow.
And now it's all USA owned.
Did you notice a difference once that ownership changed?
Yeah. So with that, I would say it became a lot more professional. Mm. We left a lot of the smaller. I'll be honest. One of my favorite Dignitas teams of all time is actually the Clash Royale. I have never played Clash Royale in my life. Turns out that game is super fun to watch.
Okay.
I will die on this hill. Clash Royale is an amazing EVE. I have never played the game in my life. And that's something Dignitas used to bring me. I have watched Trackmania. I have watched Heroes of the Storm, StarCraft. I have watched so many games that I didn't even know existed because I was such of a Dignitas girl. And so it turns out I super love Clash Royale. I still watch the Clash Royale tournament. I think it's a really good esport.
I probably need to look into that.
It's super intense. I've never played the game, but it's like super intense. It's like really fast. Mm-hmm. It's really high end. It's dominated by South America.
Oh, nice.
We had a American team, and then we had a mostly Brazilian.
Wow.
I can't tell you anything about the game. I've never played it. I barely know how it works. Just really fun. Dignitas has probably sponsored the most played esport club. I can't find it. I don't have it on the computer. There's a piece of paper that OD gave Romaz. Romaz was a community manager, which OD gave to Romaz when he left, which is just every player he signed. And it's like two pages front and back on a piece of paper, like street name per row. And just every player that has ever been paid money by Dignitas.
Wow.
Up to like 2018. And it's just a A4 piece of paper, three rows across, like front to back, covered.
Oh, wow.
It's a huge organization. We've been really good at lots of games. Carl Jr., who is by far the best Trackmania player of all time, is Dignitas alumni. We have 4 League of Legends World Championships, 2 of them are coaches. None of them have won with Dig, of course, but Core JJ had been on Dig. The coach for IG was a Dignitas player, a substitute player on FPX was a Dignitas coach, I believe.
Huh.
They're just really weird stuff because we have had so many people.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We were really, really good at Heroes of the Storm. And you know what? We haven't been super good at League. And we kind of have to own that. We've never been good. We've never made... we will. And I will be the first person.
You will go wherever the Worlds is going to be held. Huh? How about MSI? Yeah, if they make MSI.
I'll take any international League of Legends, and I will go, and I will get my Diggy tattoo. I want it so badly, but I promise OD I will only do it at LAN. Funny enough, OD would go and pay for it, but...
Nice.
We never made an international event, and I was not even tied for the team. I would say, though, yeah, after having Prindeville, that's his name, it's Michael Prindeville, by the org, it's been a lot more professional. We've been in bigger scenes. Yep, more tier one stuff.
Gotcha.
Which is great. I really like the smaller games. I wish there was a team really gang random players in random games, but you need to make a profit,
yes,
right? You need to be in the big games.
Absolutely, absolutely. No, this org has an amazing logo. That's the first thing that stood out to me when I watched them come in. I started much, much later than you. And so, you know, I started when franchising was just implemented. So Clutch Gaming was the previous spot before You know.
And we are one game or two game from Worlds. That's so tragic. Oh,
so close. Look, they had a good roster from time to time. I mean, like, you know, they had, you know, Huni on their roster. They had Afromu sign. Oh, my gosh. And they signed Froggen. That was an interesting. But
Blue.
The
legend.
And, oh, yes, Blue, the legend. Last
if
year.
If we want to go Boomer, we have Cruiser, maybe the worst paid League of Legends player of all time, but we'll take it. I love you, Cruiser. I'm sorry. That's so mean.
I don't think Cruiser will mind. They had Jensen. They had...
he's a fucking... Or sorry, Jensen player, but he's like... I don't know if he's D1, but he was like a D2 football player. Oh. So I should not talk shit about there. Mm-hmm. He will. Very strong guy. Or at least he was. Yeah, he was in like two football and dropped out of college.
He's Ogden, right? That's the...
Cruiser the Bruiser.
Let me see.
He's a football guy. He was huge.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to have to look him up then.
I think he was a football player. I might be wrong on that. This is so long
That's
ago.
All good. Yeah.
But I thought he was like...
There's just a lot of names, familiar names. I see, you know, like you mentioned, you had Chat on there. I didn't even realize he played for... Mm-hmm. This was before and then...
Before
LCS. Before LCS, no. They had... I'm seeing something. Golden Glue was on this team. He was now a coach. Gamsu is familiar. Shifter, Shrimp, Stunt, X Special,
Kiwi Kid.
Yes, they had Viper,
not the Korean Viper, not the North American top laner Viper.
We always
is Viper, Sniper brother.
Yes, yeah. He is Sniper's older brother.
Yeah, and who else have they had? A Zingy. Mm-hmm. So the Zoomers don't know about Zingy, but Zingy was like a super hype signing. This was supposed to be like our Magic Felix before Magic Felix. I don't think he ended up playing a single game, but he was signed on Dignitas.
He was on Dignitas.
That's a super old school name.
Mm-hmm.
This was a very funny storyline. Like, maybe I have this wrong, but he was like Magic Felix. Like, he was just like so good in solo queue and just never really played pro.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, oh man, and pretty much there were kind of like this thought like Dignitas of where people went to retire. Like, we even ended up having Saint Vicious
mm-hmm.
as like a coach and stuff. But it's like all the famous players, their last season was on Dignitas. Like, so many legends.
That's true.
And I wanted to say one thing, if I could, mm-hmm. of how I found Dignitas.
Yes.
And did you go back to Dignitas being a team of legends? So I was really into the game called Bloodline Champions, and I was in a clan called whatever it was called, and I really loved the player called Griff, KRFF. And some people might recognize that name as he's the main observer for TI.
Oh.
So the guy who got me into Dignitas, when he was signed to Dignitas, this is before the League of Legends team by a few months,
mm-hmm.
that guy is now like the main observer for TI. He's still on Newport. And then I really liked Gara's stream. This is, again, I just really like the person, loves the content.
Of course.
And he gets signed by Dignitas, and that just like sold it. It's like, okay, all the people I love keep getting signed. I'm going to fangirl the team. And it's been 13 years.
It's been 13 years.
Half of my life this year.
All right.
Yeah, 2011.
That is a long time fan and faithful. You're like a certified.
Well, I got the right type of like autism fangirl obsessiveness.
They need to give you a special spot whenever they make Worlds. I think that, you know what, if this ever reach them,
I'm just gonna get my tattoo and it's gonna be great.
That's gonna be awesome.
I just need them to make an international event. But yeah, so even outside of League of Legends.
Mm-hmm.
We've also had, I don't know how to say it, Sojao. He's mm-hmm. been a top 10 Hearthstone streamer for like 10 years. Mm. He's a StarCraft pro from Dignitas. And Carl Jr. is another legend. Like, Dignitas has just had so many.
Wow. And it really, you know, these are the things that most LCS fans don't know about, you know, the things that are going behind. Yeah. And so we want this to be known out there that this is not a small org. This is not, here to...
For boomers. The boomer org for boomer people.
Absolutely. And so what has it been like? You mentioned 13 years a fan. I'm guessing you write, you've seen it all, the highs and the lows. And,
Lots me of through. Lows. So from League of Legends, right, we've never made Worlds. It's We played relegation twice. Like, historically, Dignitas is not a very winning roster, sadly. We won other games. Heroes of the Storm. Mm-hmm. I truly believe if HEC didn't get canceled, Dignitas was the best team in the world going into the next HEC year. Mm. People who don't know, Heroes of the Storm pro team got canceled literally overnight.
Yeah.
Like, there was a player on a flight to join, like, an EU org from Australia, and when his plane landed, it's like, oh, yeah, the scene is gone.
Mm, wow.
But Dignitas was, in my opinion, not just the best team in Europe. I think we truly would have been Genji, the Korean team, ooh, which was the best team by far in Heroes of the Storm. We have a very fun roster right now. I love Rich. I'm a huge hero fangirl. Yeah. So
oh.
I love Rich. I love Bakery. But also, like, we have this really cool roster where I love XU.
Mm.
I love Isles. I love the team. I don't know. I think we're getting world. I have faith.
Oh, so
I don't care if mm-hmm. we're like sixth place on the standings.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're getting world. Look, this is our best year ever.
So my previous guest, who's the IMT, super fan, says that their team is summerbound. That's when they're going to be activated. Do you think Dignitas is more of a summer team, having them come together?
So I don't believe that. What I do believe, though, is at least three of our losses were, like, didn't have to be losses. Mm. Like, we've had insanely close games. We've had very patented dig, not so much dig barons, but been dig dragons the last 2 years. Don't know what it is. We just hate Dragon Soul.
Yeah, the macro, man.
I don't know why we don't like Dragon Soul and we don't like contesting dragons, but it's okay. Mm. But, like, if you really look at the standings and you, like, roll dice, Dignitas could literally just be, like, 7-4 and be tied for second going into week 7 now.
Yeah.
Like, lots of our games have been really close. Lots of our games have been really simple mechanical errors. Like, our win against Shopify, Tomo got caught in, like, the flash, and that could have lost us the game, but it didn't, thankfully, because Isles got, like, two insane max range hooks on the Jace, right?
Yeah.
That easily could have been a lot, but then so could... Who did we play before Shopify? Did we play IMT?
You both, 100 Thieves. 100 Thieves.
100 Thieves.
That was a winnable game. That was a winnable game.
All of them have been. Mm-hmm. And I think Dignitas easily could just be top of the standings. Like, there's no reason we have to be losing. Mm. And there's no, like, oh, our players suck. Our bot lane is looking really, really good.
Mm.
The non-Korean bot lanes are looking super good this season. You have Meech and... I'm so bad with names.
That's okay. It's so Meech from Under Thieves, right? Meech and Ayla.
Yeah, and they're non-Korean. They look amazing. Mm-hmm. I think Tomo and Isles looks pretty good.
Very good.
They might not be the best, but they're looking good. Akju's looking really good.
He's growing. And
Rich is... I truly believe Rich is, like, the second best or third best weak side top laner in the world when he was doing good.
Mm-hmm.
When he was voted second all-pro LPL, it wasn't because he was carrying. It's because he just never lost lane.
Mm. Yes.
He never threw the game, but he wasn't, like, carrying, right? It's not 3-6-9 where you roll the 9 and you get 1v9.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing like Bin.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, totally good.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been super popping off, but if the other players are fine, because he won't lose lane. So, I don't know. I like our team right now.
And
I have faith.
This is an underrated team. I think the XU's growth will be key, because...
XU is so good.
I've followed a little bit of him when he came from the Tier 2 system, right? He almost didn't make it through one of the teams, but eventually got signed, and he got put in the team last year. Put in the main team, and I thought that was too early, and I'm so happy he got another chance.
Is this his third? He played two half.
I have to try to remember. I know last year was his first time on the been playing in the Challenger.
Okay, I thought he played two half blitz or been subbed in, but yeah. I don't know. I'm an XU believer.
Mm-hmm.
He's willing to pick good characters, which is the thing that I think I can complain about our draft, but I want to be positive.
That's okay.
The issue with our drafts isn't even that they're bad. So they're just so boring.
Yeah, I mean there's that. But what I'm hearing, and I really can validate that, is that it's small things they fix. If they fix these issues, they are better than what their record indicate, and I totally can see that.
I don't think you even have to fix that. It's just like if you win like one more coin flip.
Oh wow!
I think it's just like lots of the games. NA is really close right now. I think everybody would agree with that. This is the
closest,
most competitive split by far. It is the best split of LCS since relegations by far. It's super exciting. The only thing we're missing is like, oh, there's no TSM CLG rivalry.
Yes,
but that's because those teams don't exist. Both
teams, they are not here. But guess who's here?
Yeah. And you know what is the oldest rivalry that's kind of in the LCS? It's Dignitas versus Curse. Curse took our world spot twice. They almost relegated us once, and people don't know, but Team Liquid is Team Curse.
That's right.
Team Liquid is not a founding team. They bought out Team Curse.
That's right.
And Curse versus Dignitas is like it's the second rivalry after TSM CLG.
Oh man, that
we were third and fourth for the first like few years of before LCS, and the first few years of LCS, it was. But yeah, obviously TL has ended up doing a lot better lifetime.
Overall, yes, but this is a wide open year. So that is an amazing piece that I didn't know or didn't realize, and that's going to be hype. We need that back, right? These rivalries, history is important. That's why we...
And the cool part of Curse, Dignitas, if we go back to the Curse days and early Team Liquid, it was not just a League of Legends rivalry. Team Curse had the second best Trackmania team, if I remember right. Team Curse were also better than us at Han, and they were better at StarCraft. This is my memory. I might be slightly wrong, but like League of Legends was super close. We had Trackmania. They had Han. I think they had StarCraft 2 over us.
It goes on. Like, you can bear like a personal grudge against Team Liquid.
And and then for me, because I'm like a huge Heroes of the Storm fangirl, I'll always have like the Fnatic rivalry in my heart. If Dignitas ever makes it internationally, I just want to beat Fnatic more than anything.
Awesome.
Because that's like my dream matchup. We have played so many games, so many sets. I wouldn't be shocked if Dignitas versus Fnatic has happened 100 times lifetime of the orcs, but never happened in League of Legends. It's not even countable because people don't even know all the players on these older games. It wasn't documented as well. There's no public list of like every player that's been on Dignitas, and it's sad. It's really sad.
It is, but I think you know, they can turn it around. They can make it, and we are. I'm excited. You got me excited to continue following this team, because I started with just loving the players, and now knowing the history and the whole their part in the LCS in a grander scheme, not just LCS but League. I mean esports in general. That's awesome to hear. So kind of to kind of wrap up our conversation, it's been amazing. So what is your thought on what Dick can do to get people to root for them or pay attention?
Okay, so this is the question I was waiting for, because there's one correct answer. I am going fangirl so hard. So everybody in the podcast need to go onto Twitter or social media, whatever you like, and you follow Silvix12, yes. S-I-L-V-X-S. This is the Dignitas content creator guy. He is the best content creator person in the LCS. He is amazing. We love him. So amazing. Dignitas' YouTube is the best YouTube in the LCS. And it sucks that nobody watches it, right? We've all seen the streamer do it where they type in all the teams and they're like, oh my god, these orgs are getting 100 views a video, right?
Yes.
And Dignitas for a long time was at the bottom. It was not looking good. Dignitas also, I maybe correct, they like fractured everything. So you need to follow like Dignitas League of Legends, Dignitas Fortnite, Dignitas Rocket League. It's all fractured. But our views have been growing since Silvix had joined. It's still not super high, but they are way better videos, in my opinion, than people know, because nobody were giving them a chance, right? We have one of the smaller fan bases. Our content used to really suck. Content was really boring, copy-paste. And we don't have a streamer anymore. Like, if you go look, we just don't have anyone. Biofrost is probably our biggest League of Legends content creator, and he's not the largest streamer out there. And I don't know if he's still even signed to Dignitas. I believe he is. Yeah, he's still signed to
Okay, he's still
Dignitas as a
signed. Yeah,
streamer.
I haven't heard from him in a while for sure, but
Yeah, but like, so we don't have anybody really bringing hype to the team. So people aren't looking and aren't comparing the content from 2 years ago to know it's so much better. But Silvix, oh my goodness, the guy great. I love him. He's doing great.
Yes.
Dignitas is, our content is actually really good. I don't care what anyone says.
Absolutely.
It's actually pretty good.
They leveled up amazingly, and every week, I don't know if you know this, Willow, about me. On my Twitter account, every week I do a quick power ranking of team content that they put out.
Oh, you do?
Dignitas always ends up top three or so, unless they come out with the voice comms, which I like the voice comms, but I do think that's more of like you mentioned, a copy
I
paste.
think
But
our voice comms have even gone better, which is interesting because they're willing. So many teams are just like, they'll just like skip the losses or skip like the draft because they're like,
The only
oh, we're
show.
going to reveal too much information if we cover draft. I think even in the Voicom videos, if you pay attention, I think somebody had gone through the people's heads like, it doesn't matter. Just put it out there. People want the actual interesting stuff.
Yes. So, well, let's compare this year so far, just LCS content. Which one was your favorite?
My favorite video is having Rich Flame at you in the
That was
not
so
knowing
good.
who my teammates are. The get the rank is my teammates, and then he's just flaming the shit out of Xu. Great video.
At the end too, you can that was my all-time
Looks at the
favorite.
camera like,
It's
what
like,
the fuck? This is my teammate? Oh no.
don't post this. But Dove was amazing. I'm not sorry.
Yeah.
It's your fault.
No, I love Dub too. I'm a huge Rift fangirl. People know the storyline. Oh my god, Rich was a faker of Pop. But people don't understand how good Rich was at Heroes of the Storm. He could play the mechanically least demanding character. I don't know, there's a whole cool storyline how he get picked Sergeant Hammer. He's like the lowest APM, most boring character. It's like picking, right? And you just start picking Sergeant Hammer and just like looks so much mechanically better. Right, y'all? So is this actually a super high skill character that's really hard to play? Or is Rich just this much better? He can just play K look like.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And he was so much better than everybody else. Him, Blue Beetle, and his healer. Oh, who's the healer? Whatever. There's a reason why they won everything. They're the most decorated team. Rich was so good, and having him come to League of Legends makes me so happy. And he did really good in LPL Thessaly. He did okay in Korea and done pretty good in NA. I think people rate him just as like super solid. I don't think he'll ever be considered like the best player in NA because he's not that type of player. He's not
He's not
just
the
going like solo kill you.
right. He's just not gonna hard carry. He's not the fudge or the sniper. But
Even when he picks like Quinn, he just like farm two, three items and then he's like side lanes. And it's like great. And you're like, oh my God, I love this.
I do hear
But
people praising his laning, which was very strong. I think people need to recognize that it's not just about the numbers. Gotta watch the player. Gotta
yeah,
watch
I
out.
love Rich. But that's also just like my awesome fangirlism. I love Bakery. Bakery Kharazim is the best thing ever to watch. Oh my goodness, I love Bakery Kharazim. I go to bed watching the videos.
That's awesome.
Bakery is our GM,
Oh,
for
you
people who
too.
don't know.
Right.
He's not just the League of Legends GM anymore. I believe he is just the GM of the
The
organization
whole
now.
org.
I believe. I might be slightly wrong. Dignitas, it's hard to kind of follow what's happening because we don't have a huge online presence. The managerial people we have don't use Twitter a lot.
Gotcha.
Michael hasn't posted a tweet in like this year.
Ooh.
So,
You gotta connect with the Zoomers, man. You gotta connect with
well,
this.
he was, and then I yelled at him, and then he stopped using Twitter, and I blame myself.
Oh
But to
no.
be fair, I yelled at him for a great reason, and I'm correct.
Let him know. He can slowly come back out. Just be a bit more,
Yeah,
behave.
so I think that's our thing. We have no reach. We don't have like any streamers in the, not really just the League of Legends space, anything that isn't Fortnite. The Fortnite is doing great, but even that, they're not in the Dignitas Discord or Twitter or something. There's a Dignitas Fortnite server that has like active chatters every day, like hundreds of people, and it's doing great, but like everything is just not together.
Not together. Mm.
So then you don't know this exists, because like I don't care about Fortnite personally. I just know the Dignitas Fortnite doing great, but like why aren't they doing it in the main Discord?
Right. Yeah. How do you get people to get hyped if you're not going to consistently like hype?
Yeah. Them? But like it's doing great and there's lots of people, but it just, it's all sequestered. Mm. It's all separate.
Well, let's hope when the people hear like your passion and your fandom, they can start becoming more involved, be interested. Thank you so much, Willow, for your time. We can talk Dignitas, we can talk LCS all day long. I'm sure I'll have you on for another show fairly soon this year.
I just hope I didn't. Thanks for having me.
Amazing. No, not at all. It's been amazing, and I want to really thank you. So, any sign off? Anything you want to let our listeners know?
Should I say something that'll like get your thing in trouble?
No, you won't get me in trouble. You won't get me in trouble. Something like join the Discord. Join the Dignitas Discord.
Yeah, no, I was here because I love Discord. Mm-hmm. If anybody does join, you will see I reply to literally every message and I read everything, and there's no being in the Discord and hiding from me. So if you want to call me dumb in particular, it's so easy. Just join the Dignitas Discord, be like, this person's an idiot, they don't know anything. I love it. I will take all of it.
Awesome.
Yeah, Dignitas is great. Diggy is the best logo. And one hot take for you that I did not say. The owl logo wasn't that bad. I'm the only person on this earth who liked the owl logo. And I'm the only one, and I'll die on that hill. The owl wasn't that bad. It just needed to be named. It should have been named Naitasimane because of Greek myth, but whatever.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Willow. Thank you for your time. And you have a full day.
Of the storm. StarCraft, Hearthstone. I have watched so many games that I didn't even know existed. Because I was such of a Dignitas fangirl. And so it turns out I super love Clash Royale. I still watch the Clash Royale tournaments. I think it's a really good esport.
I probably need to look into that.
It's super intense. I've never played the game, but it's like super intense. It's really fast. It's really high energy. It's a great game. It's dominated by South America.
Oh, nice.
We had a American team, and then we had a mostly Brazilian team. I can't tell you anything about the game. I've never played it. I barely know how it works. Just really fun. Dignitas has probably sponsored the most players of any esports club. I can't find it. I don't have it on the computer. There's a piece of paper that OD gave Romaz. Romaz was a community manager, which OD gave to Romaz when he left, which is just every player he signed, and it's like two pages front and back on a piece of paper, like three names per row. And it's just every player that has ever been paid money by Dignitas.
Wow.
Up to like 2018. And it's just a A4 piece of paper, three rows across, like front to back, covered.
Oh, wow.
It's a huge organization. We've been really good at lots of games. Carl Jr., who is by far the best Trackmania player of all time, is Dignitas alumni. We have four League of Legends World Championships, two of them are coaches. None of them have won with Dig, of course, but Core JJ have been on Dig. The coach for IG was a Dignitas player. A substitute player on FPX was a Dignitas coach, I believe. They're just really weird stuff because we have had so many people.
Wow.
We were really, really good at Heroes of the Storm. And you know what? We haven't been super good at League. And we kind of have to own that. We've never been good. We've never made Worlds. We will. And I will be the first person to book a flight.
You will go wherever Worlds is going to be held. Huh? How about MSI, if they make MSI?
I'll take any International League of Legends. And I will go and I will get my Diggy tattoo. I want it so badly, but I promise OD I will only do it at LAN. Funny enough, OD would go and pay for it, but
nice.
We never made an international event. I've never been tied for the team. I would say though, after having Prindeville, that's his name, it's Michael Prindeville, by the org, it's been a lot more professional. We've been in bigger scenes, just more tier one stuff.
Gotcha.
Which is great. I really like the smaller games. I wish there was a team really just getting random players in random games, but you need to make a profit, yes. Right? You need to be yes. in the big games.
Absolutely, absolutely. This orc has an amazing logo. That's the first thing that stood out to me when I watched him come in. I started much, much later than you. And so, you know, I started when franchising was just in. Clutch Gaming was the previous spot.
Yeah.
You know.
And we're one game or two game from Worlds. It's so tragic. Oh,
so close. Look, they had a good roster from time to time. I mean, like, you know, they had, you know, Huni on their roster. They had Aframu sign. Oh, my gosh. And they signed Froggen. That was an in. But
Blue. The legend.
And... oh yes, blue the legend. Last
if
year,
if we want to go boomer, we have Cruiser, maybe the worst paid League of Legends player of all time, but we'll take it. I love you, Cruiser. I'm sorry, that's so mean.
I don't think Cruiser will mind. They had Jensen. They had
he's a fucking or sorry, some player, but he's like I don't know if he's D1, but he was like a D2 football player. Oh. So I should not talk shit about Cruiser. Mm-hmm. He will. Very strong guy, or at least he was. Yeah, he was in like D2 football and dropped out of college to play in LCS or something.
Cruz Ogden, right? That's the his name.
Cruiser the Bruiser.
Cruiser the Bruiser. Let me see.
Yeah, he's the football guy. He was huge.
Cruiser, Bruiser, my Ogden. Wow. Yeah, I'm going to have to look him up then.
I think he was a football player. I might be wrong on that. This is so long.
That's
ago.
All good. Yeah.
But I thought he was like D2 football.
Oh, man. There's just a lot of names, familiar names. I see, you know, like you mentioned, you had Chat on there. I didn't even realize he played for the team. Mm-hmm. This was before, and then
before LCS.
No, they had I'm seeing something. Golden Glue was on this team. He was now a coach. Gamsu is familiar. Shifter, Shrimp, Stunt, X Special,
Kiwi Kid.
Cool. Yes, they had Viper.
Not the Korean Viper. Not the North American top laner Viper.
We always
who
have.
Is Viper Sniper brother?
Yes. Yeah. He is Sniper's older brother.
And who else have they had? A Zingy. Mm-hmm. So the Zoomers don't know about a Zingy, but a Zingy was like a super hype signing. This was supposed to be like our Magic Felix before Magic Felix. I don't think he ended up playing a single game, but he was signed on Dignitas.
He was on Dignitas.
That's a super old school name. Mm-hmm. This was a very funny storyline. Maybe I have this wrong, but he was like Magic Felix. Like he was just like so good in solo queue and just never really played pro.
Oh, that is unfortunate.
Yeah. Oh, man. And pretty much there were kind of like this thought, like Dignitas was where people went to retire. Like we even ended up having St. Vicious as like a coach and stuff. But it's like... all the famous players, their last season was on Dig. So many.
That's true.
And I wanted to say one thing, if I could, of how I found Dignitas.
Yes.
And did you go back to Dignitas being a team of legends? So I was really into the game called Bloodline Champions. And I was in a clan called whatever it was called. And I really loved the player called Griff, KRFF. And some people might recognize that name as he's the main observer for TI.
Oh.
So the guy who got me into Dignitas, when he was signed to Dignitas, this is before the League of Legends team by a few months. Mm-hmm. That guy is now like the main observer for TI. He's still on Neeports. And then I really liked Gara's stream. This is, again, I just really like the person, loves the content.
Of course.
And he gets signed by Dignitas, and that just like sold it. It's like, okay. All the people I love keep getting signed. I'm going to fangirl the team. And it's been 13 years.
It's been 13 years.
Half of my life this year.
All right.
Yeah, 2011.
That is a long time fan and faithful. You're like a certified.
Well, I got the right type of like autism, fangirl, obsessiveness.
Oh, man. They need to give you a special spot whenever they make Worlds. I think that, you know what, if this ever reached them.
I'm just going to get my tattoo, and it's going to be great.
That's going to be awesome.
Need them to make an international event. But yeah, so even outside of League of Legends, right, we've also had, I don't know how to say it, Sojao. He's been a top 10 Hearthstone streamer for like 10 years. He's a StarCraft pro from
Gotcha.
Dignitas, and Carl Jr. is another legend. Like Dignitas has just had so many banks.
Wow. And it really, these are the things that most LCS fans don't know about, the things that are going
Oh yeah.
behind that. And so we want this to be known out there that this is not a small org. This is not, just
No,
here to.
we're boomers. It's a boomer org for boomer people.
Absolutely. And so what has it been like? You mentioned 13 year fan. I'm guessing you write all you've seen it all, the highs and the lows.
Yeah,
Swap
lots
me
of
through.
love. So from League of Legends, right? We've never made international event. We've never made worlds. We played relegation twice. Like historically, Dignitas is not a very winning roster, sadly. We won other games. Heroes of the Storm. I truly believe if HEC didn't get canceled, Dignitas was the best team in the world going into the next HEC year. People who don't know, Heroes of the Storm pro team got canceled literally overnight. Like there was a player on a flight to join like an EU org from Australia, and when his plane landed, it's like, oh yeah, the scene is gone.
Wow.
But Dignitas was, in my opinion, not just the best team in Europe. I think we truly would have been Gen.G, the Korean team, which
Ooh.
was the best team by far in Heroes of the Storm. We have a very fun roster right now. I love Rich. I'm a huge hero fangirl,
Yeah.
so
Oh.
I love Rich. I love Bakery, but also like we have this really cool roster where I love XU. I love Isles. I love the team. I don't know. I think we're getting worlds. I have faith.
Oh,
I
so
don't care if we're like sixth place on the standings. I think we're getting worlds. This
Look.
is our best year ever.
So my previous guest, who's the IMT, super fan, says that their team is summerbound. That's when they're going to be activated. Do you think Dignitas is more of a summer team, having them come together?
So I don't believe that. What I do believe though is at least three of our losses were like didn't have to be losses. Like we've had insanely close games. We've had very patented dig, not so much dig barons, but been dig dragons the last 2 years. Don't know what it is.
Yes.
We just hate
Just
Dragon
say
Soul.
Dragon. Yeah, the macro,
I
man.
don't know why we don't like Dragon Soul and we don't like contesting dragons, but it's okay. But like if you really look at the standings and you like roll dice, Dignitas could clearly just be like 7-4 and be tied for second going into week the 7 now. Like lots of our games have been really close. Lots of our games have been really simple mechanical errors. Like our win against Shopify, Tomo got caught in like the flash, and that could have lost us the game, but it didn't, thankfully, because Isles got like two insane max range hooks on the Jace, right? That easily could have been a lot, but then so could who did we play before Shopify? Did we play IMT?
You both 100 Thieves.
100 Thieves. That
That
team
was a
was super
winnable
hard,
game. That was a winnable
which
game.
all of them have been. And I think Dignitas easily could get top of the standings. Like there's no reason we have to be losing, and there's no like, oh, our players suck. Our bot lane is looking really good. The non-Korean bot lanes are looking super good this season. You have me and I'm so bad with names,
That's
which
okay.
is
It's
so fine.
Meech from 100 Thieves, Meech and Ayla.
And they're non-Korean. They look amazing. I think Tomo and Isles looks pretty good.
Very good.
They might not be the best, but they're looking good. Axie's looking really good.
He's
And
growing.
Rich is, I truly believe Rich is like the second best or third best weak side top laner in the world when he was doing good. When he was voted second all pro LPL, it wasn't because he was carrying. It's because he just never lost lane. He never threw the game. But he wasn't like carrying, right? It's not 3-6-9 where you roll the nine and you get 1v9. He playing like Bin, and he's just like totally good. He hasn't been super popping off, but he's if the other players are fine because he won't lose lane. So I don't know. I like our team right now.
And
I have faith.
this is an underrated team. I think the X-use growth will be key because
Actually, it's so good.
I've followed his a little bit of him when he came from the tier two. He almost didn't make it through to one of the teams, but eventually got signed and he got put in the team last year. put in the main team, and I thought that was too early, and I'm so happy he got another chance.
Is this third? He played two half.
I have to try to remember. I know last year was his first time on the LCS itself. He's been playing in the Challenger team.
Okay, I thought he played two halfless or been subbed in twice. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I'm an IQ believer. He's willing to pick good characters, which is the thing that I think Dignitas is. I can complain about our draft, but I won't be positive.
That's
my
okay.
My issue with our draft isn't even that they're bad. So they're just so boring.
Yeah, I mean there's that. But what I'm hearing, and I really can validate that, is that it's small things they fix. If they fix these issues, they are better than what their records indicate, and I totally can see that.
I don't think you even have to fix stuff. It's just like if you win like one more coin flip.
Oh, wow.
I think it's just like lots of the games. NA is really close right now. I think everybody would agree with that. This is the
closest,
most competitive split by far. It is the best split of LCS since relegations by far. It's super exciting. The only thing we're missing is like, there's no TSM CLG rivalry.
Yes.
But that's because those teams don't exist.
They are not here. Guess who's here?
Yeah. And you know what is the oldest rivalry that's kind of in the LCS? It's Dignitas versus Curse. Curse took our world, fought twice. They almost relegated us once, and people don't know, but Team Liquid is Team Curse.
That's right.
Team Liquid is not a founding team. They bought out Team Curse.
That's right.
And Curse versus Dignitas is like it's the second rivalry after TSM CLG.
Oh man,
we were third and fourth for the first like few years of before LCS, and the first few years of LCS, it was. But yeah, obviously TL has ended up doing a lot better. Like.
Overall, yes. So that is an amazing piece that I didn't know or didn't realize, and that's going to be hype. We need that back, right? These rivalries, history is important. That's why we...
And the cool part of Curse, Dignitas, if we go back to the Curse days and early Team Liquid, it was not just a League of Legends rivalry. Team Curse had the second best Trackmania team, if I remember right. Team Curse were also better than us at Han. And they were better at StarCraft. This is my memory. I might be slightly wrong. But like, League of Legends was super close. We had Trackmania. They had Han. I think they had StarCraft 2 over us.
It goes on. Like, you can bear like a personal grudge against Team Liquid.
And then for me, because I'm like a huge Heroes of the Storm fan girl, I'll always have like the Fnatic rivalry in my heart. If Dignitas... ever makes it internationally, I just want to beat Fnatic more than anything.
Awesome.
Because that's like my dream matchup. We have played so many games, so many sets. I wouldn't be shocked if Dignitas versus Fnatic has happened 100 times lifetime of the orcs, but never happened in League of Legends. It's not even countable because people don't even know all the players on these older games. It wasn't documented as well. There's no public list of like every player that's been on Dignitas, and it's sad. It's really sad.
It is, but I think you know, they can turn it around. They can make it, and we are. I'm excited. You got me excited to continue following this team because I started with just loving the players, and now knowing the history and the whole their part in the LCS in a grander scheme, not just LCS, but League, esports in general. That's awesome to hear. So kind of to kind of wrap up our conversation, it's been amazing. So what is your thought on what Dick can do to get people to root for them or pay attention?
Okay, so this is the question I was waiting for because there's one correct answer. I am going fangirl so hard. So everybody in the podcast need to go onto Twitter or social media, whatever you like, and you follow Silvix12, yes. S-I-L-V-X-S. This is the Dignitas content creator guy. He is the best content creator person in the LCS. He is amazing. We love him.
Oh,
he
my
is
gosh.
So amazing. Dignitas' YouTube is the best YouTube in the LCS, and it sucks that nobody watches it, right? We've all seen the streamer do it where they type in all the teams and they're like, oh my God, these orgs are getting 100 views a video, right?
Yes.
And Dignitas for a long time was at the bottom. It was not looking good. Dignitas also, I maybe correct, they like fractured everything, so you need to follow like Dignitas League of Legends, Dignitas Fortnite, Dignitas Rocket League. It's all fractured. Mm-hmm. But our views have been growing since Silvix had joined. It's still not super high, but they are way better videos, in my opinion, mm-hmm. than people know, because mm-hmm. nobody was giving them a chance, right? We have mm-hmm. one of the smaller fan bases. Our content used to really suck. Content was really boring, copy-paste.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have a streamer anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go look, we just don't have anyone. Biofrost is probably our biggest League of Legends content creator. And he's not the largest streamer out there. And I don't know if he's still even signed to Dignitas. I believe he is. Yeah, he's still signed to Dignitas.
Okay, he's still signed. Yeah, I haven't heard from him in a while for sure. But
But like, so we don't have anybody really bringing hype to the team. Since people aren't looking and aren't comparing the content from 2 years ago to know it's so much better. But Silvix, oh my goodness, the guy great. I love him. He's doing great.
Yes.
Dignitas is... Our content is actually, I don't care what anyone says.
Absolutely.
It's actually pretty good.
They leveled up amazingly. And every week, I don't know if you notice a little about me. On my Twitter account, every week I do a quick power ranking of team content that they put out.
Oh, you do?
Dignitas always ends up top three or so, unless they come out with the voice comms, which I like the voice comms, but I do think that's more of a copy-paste.
I think but, our voice comms have even gone better, which is interesting because they're willing. Mm-hmm. So many teams are just like, they'll just like get the losses or get like,
right,
the draft,
right?
Because they're like, we're going to reveal too much information if we cover draft. I think even in the Voicom videos, if you pay attention, I think somebody had gone through the people's heads like, it doesn't matter, just put it out there. People want the actual interesting stuff.
Yes. So, let's compare this year so far, just LCS content. Which one was your favorite?
My favorite video
is
having Rich Flame at you in the
that was
not
so
knowing
good.
Who my teammates are. The get the rank at my teammates,
right.
And then he just flaming the shit out of at you. Great video.
At the end too, you can that was my all time favorite.
At the camera like, it's what, like, the fuck, this is my teammate. Oh no!
Don't post this. But Dove was amazing. I'm not sorry.
Yeah.
It's your fault.
No. I love Dove too. I'm a huge Rift fangirl. People know the storyline. Oh my god, Rich was a faker of pop. But people don't understand how good Rich was at Heroes of the Storm. He could play the mechanically least demand. There's a whole cool storyline how he get picked Sergeant Hammer. He's like the lowest APM, most boring character. It's like picking, right? And you just start picking Sergeant Hammer and just like look so much mechanically better than everybody else. And it's like, is this actually a super high skill character that's really hard to play? Or is Rich just this much better? He can just play Kid and look like.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And he was so much better than everybody else. Him, Blue Beetle, and his healer. Oh, who's the healer? Whatever. There's a reason why they won that. They're the most decorated team. Rich was so good. And having him come to so happy. And he did really good in LPL especially. He did okay in Korea and done pretty good in NA. I think people rate him just as like super solid.
Yeah,
I don't think he'll ever be considered like the best player because he's not that type of player.
He's not the
going like solo kill you.
Right, he's just not gonna hard carry. He's not the fudge or the sniper. But
yeah, even when he picks like Quinn, he just like farm 2-3 items and then he's like side lanes and it's like great. And you're like, oh my god, I love this.
I hear people praising his laning strong. People need to recognize that it's not just about the numbers. You gotta watch the player.
I love Rich, but that's also just like my fangirlism. I love Bakery. Bakery cares the best thing ever to watch. Oh my goodness, I love Bakery. I go to bed watching the videos.
That's awesome.
Bakery is our GM. He's not just the League of Legends GM anymore. I believe he's just the GM of Asia now. I believe. I might be slightly wrong. Dignitas, it's hard to kind of follow what's happening. We don't have a huge online presence. The manager we have don't Twitter a lot.
Gotcha.
Michael hasn't posted in like this year, so
you got to connect with the Zoomers, man. You got to connect with.
Well, he was, and then I yelled at him. And he stopped using Twitter, and I blame myself.
Oh,
but
no.
To be fair, I yelled at him for a great.
Let him know he can slowly come back out. Just be a bit more.
Yeah. So I think that's our thing. We have no. We don't have like any in the. Not really just the League of Legends space, anything that isn't Fortnite. The Fortnite is doing great, but even that, they're not in the Dignitas Discord or Twitter or something. There's a Dignitas Fortnite server that has like active chatters every day, like hundreds of people, and it's doing great, but like everything is not together. So then you don't know this exists because like I don't claim, I just know the Dignitas Fortnite is doing great, but like why aren't they doing it in the main Discord?
Right. That, how do you get people to get hyped if you're not going to consistently hype
them? Yeah. But, like, it's doing great, and there's lots of people, but it's all sequestered. It's all separate.
Well, let's hope when the people hear, like, your passion and your fandom, they can start becoming more involved, be interested. Thank you so much, Willow, for your time. We can talk Dignitas. We can talk LCS all day long. I'm sure I'll have you on for another show fairly soon this year.
I just hope I didn't thank you for having me.
No, this has been amazing. No, not at all. It's been amazing, and I want to really thank you. So any sign off, anything you want to let our listeners know?
Should I say something that'll like get your thing in trouble?
No. You won't get me in trouble. You won't get me in trouble. It's something like join the Discord, join the Dignitas Discord.
I was here because I love Discord. If anybody does join, you will see I reply to literally every message and I read everything, and there's no being in the Discord and hiding from me. So if you want to call me dumb in particular, it's so easy. Just join the Dignitas Discord, be like, this is an idiot. They don't know anything. I love it. I will take all of it.
Awesome.
Diggy is the best logo. And one hot take, that the owl logo wasn't that bad. I'm the only person on the server who liked the owl logo. And I'm the only one, and I'll die on that hill. The owl wasn't that bad. It just needed to be named. It should have been named Naitatimane because of Greek myth, but whatever.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Willow. Thank you for your time. And you have a wonderful day.